see Zendaya like you've never seen her before.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challengers, where Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy who makes no apologies for her game on and off the court.
For more than a decade, she has had former best friends Patrick and Art, played by Josh O'Connor and Mike Feist, under her spell.
It's Tashi's game and Tashi's rules.
See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at challengersmovie.com.
Hey, Fidelity. What's it cost to invest with the Fidelity app?
Start with as little as $1 with no account fees or trade commissions on U.S. stocks and ETFs.
That's music to my ears.
I can only talk.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Zero account fees apply to retail brokerage accounts only. $0 commission applies to online U.S. equity trades and ETFs and retail Fidelity accounts. Sell order assessment fee not included. Some account types and securities excluded. Details at fidelity.com/commissions. Fidelity Brokerage Services LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Just watch me love myself. That's all I want. Got what I want. That's all I want. I'm not sorry.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
And this is Love to See It, an obsessively detailed recap podcast about reality dating shows like The Bachelor and other pop culture that makes us laugh, cry, and curse the patriarchy.
We can't live with these shows and we can't live without them, but we can break down every juicy moment and unpack all the weird messages these shows send us about love, sex, and dating.
Welcome to Love to See It, a podcast about reality TV dating crossovers and very, very dramatic podcasts.
It's 2023 and we are ready to ease back into Bachelor Nation with some light gossip and pointed media criticism before we turn our attention to the upcoming Bachelor season. I honestly needed this transition period.
Yeah, I kind of like it. Like, we normally dive right back into The Bachelor as soon as January starts. And now we're sort of like dabbling our toes in. We're slowly immersing up to the ankle and then the shin. And
this
by
is good
January
for my
23rd,
mental
I think I'm going to be ready.
Exactly. And I like to be able to have this episode where we just catch up with all the news we missed while we were celebrating the holidays.
Yeah, I personally was trying not to pay attention to what anyone was doing for the holidays while I basically kept forgetting where my phone was in the house, and many hours would pass between looking at it. It was amazing. But I'm ready. I caught up. I dug back through and a lot of stuff happened. A lot of our Bachelor Nation people are taking steps forward in their lives.
They're dating. They're having babies. They're getting engaged. They're getting married. Let's do kind of a rapid fire, go through all of the little updates in people's relationship statuses that happened over the last couple months.
Yeah. New Year's Eve was a big evening for Bachelor gossip, I guess. Everyone loves to take that opportunity to like go out with a new flame and post photos of them together, or to like hard launch a boyfriend or a baby. And so a lot of stuff happened around New Year's. Specifically, one of the big items, Katie Thurston was seen out partying on New Year's Eve with Nick Ullenhuth. Not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but for fans of The Circle,
Big Daddy Nick from season 3 of Netflix's The Circle. This was big for me personally, as someone who has recently really gotten back into The Circle and really liked Nick's season of The Circle.
Yeah, I think season 3 was the last one I watched before I was like, I don't think I can watch any more seasons of a show about people trying to
trapped
become popular
isolation
within a tiny isolated social network. I was like, I can't believe I've watched this much of it already. And yet I did really watch and enjoy season 3 before I hit my limit. And Nick was one of the sort of main alliance leaders. He was a big personality on the show.
He made it to the final round.
Yeah. He didn't end up coming in very high in the ratings in the end. But I think partly because he was such a power player, people didn't want him to beat them. So he didn't, you know, there's strategy involved. But he was a big player on season three of The Circle. And now he has bobbed back up in our lives because he was pictured with Katie both in her New Year's Eve carousel on Instagram and in his. He actually had like 5 photos with her in his grid.
There also was a photo that the Bachelor Whatever account posted of them kissing.
Yeah, so they did not post it, but say, it's out there.
It's out there. I'm going to say that is an indication that these two are at least hooking up. And
yeah,
I love it. I'm here for it.
Me too.
I like this for Katie. I think that this is fun relationship for her to be in outside of Bachelor Nation, but like still has that little bit of news appeal.
Yeah, that's the thing. She's always like, I'm done with Bachelor Nation. Like, I'm never dating a Bachelor guy again. But The Circle, that's a whole different thing.
I mean, it is. It's different. It's different, Claire. They're both really cute. And so I like this for both of them. I love a good crossover story.
Yeah.
Just dig deep into that reality TV soup and find a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah. They both have a sort of irreverent comic personality mm-hmm. on their respective shows. I think that I could see them having a good time together. I don't know that what they're exactly they're doing here, though. Like, this does seem to me like a weird in-between being seen together but not posting anything and being like, I'm dating this person, hard launch.
It's like they're hanging out.
They're like intentionally they're posting sort of couple-y photos of them together, but nothing that's definitely a couple. It's like, here's the two of us like on the dance floor, but we're not like holding each other or kissing. You know what I mean? So it's almost
because
like,
it's more fun to give us stuff right. to gossip about and wonder about and talk about. And I respect it.
Right. So I'm also like, are they playing it up by including each other in their carousels in order to get the buzz going, in order to capitalize on each other's audiences? Or are they really quite genuinely dating? And this is just the beginning of a slow reveal. And she's not the only person who from Bachelor Nation who went out on New Year's Eve with someone from another reality TV franchise that no one expected to see them spending New Year's Eve with. In Tyler Cameron's case, it was Kristen Cavallari.
Oh, yeah. They were with Jason Tardik and Caitlin Bristow. And they have been, like, lightly hanging out for a while.
They met early in 2022. He was on The Real Dirty Dancing, this weird reality competition show in which everyone, I guess, had to learn how to do the dirty dancing dances and compete. And after he was like runner up in the show, he appeared on an E! News segment that she was hosting or co-hosting for an interview about the show. And that's when they met. She was a journalist, you know, just like asking him the tough questions. And next thing you know, she's asking him to appear with her in a very sexy photo shoot and video shoot to promote the jewelry line for her brand, Uncommon James. I can barely like wrap my mouth around all those things.
I had seen little clips of this video and I fully just thought she was also on The Real Dirty Dancing. Like, this is how little I've tuned in to this story. I just filled in the blanks in my head, but okay, this makes sense. The Real yeah. Dirty Dancing facilitated their meeting in a sense.
Yes.
I guess that's why I had connected the two in my head. And yeah, they had sort of been seen together occasionally over the months, but like nothing that was explicitly romantic and nothing that really confirmed that they were dating at all.
Yeah, I think that the photo and video shoot they were in for Uncommon James, it was like wedding themed. It was very sexy. There was like kissing and like a bed in a desert and they're like rolling around on the bed. And so I think a lot of their fans start to be like, oh, you guys have chemistry. Like, are you actually dating? And they've just kind of let that be out there. They've never really denied that they're involved in some romantic sense. I think Kristen has denied that they are together. She's like, when I'm with someone, you'll know. I'll be telling everyone. Yeah. But she wasn't like, oh, definitely just platonic with Tyler. So they've kind of let that be out there. They were seen having lunch together also before this New Year's Eve party that same day or weekend, I think. And then, yeah, they were out partying with the Tardic Bristows. And I could see them having a really mutually beneficial and sexy, like, hookup, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
But it could also just be mutually beneficial if there was no romance involved. And they're just like, we're both hot. We both have fandoms.
And people, we're both hanging out.
And it's going to stir up interest in whether we're a thing. And that's fine.
I see what they're doing either way. And I'm into it.
He's really just like either dating a model or he's out here being like, how can I stay in the mix? Like, am I going to have a feud with Rachel Kirkconnell? Am I going to be linked in some way to an even more famous reality star than me? Like, whatever it takes, I'm out there or I'm dating a model.
And he somehow just does it with such finesse every time. Like, you think you've forgotten about him and you haven't.
Yeah, he won't let that happen.
No, he will not. He certainly will not. Frankly, I ship these two. Even if it's a fake relationship for PR, just go for it, guys.
I like it. You know, having seen just a few clips of the situation that, oh my God, who was she married to? This is so embarrassing. She's married to that football player.
Oh, Jay Cutler.
Jay Cutler. Having seen just a few clips from her reality show with Jay Cutler.
I did watch it.
Of like, what a miserable bum he seemed like to be around. I would love for her to post-divorce just have a really fun time with Tyler Cameron for however long it's working for them.
With just like a really hot man.
And this is why people are rooting for this, to be real. To go from Jay Cutler to this, I mean, you deserve it. You deserve it.
Another relationship that was truly launched around New Year's. Teddy Wright. Teddy has a new boyfriend. And she posted a New Year's reel of them kissing and embracing, intercut with some early videos of her crying, looking very down. She made it through. She's found love.
She's telling the story of her year. She's like, remember how I had such a hard time on The Bachelor and then an even worse time on Bachelor in Paradise? And I was crying and doubting myself. And look at me now. I have this handsome boyfriend whose name we do not know. He's anonymous.
We don't know, but he's very cute, very handsome. And, you know, that's how it goes. That's how it goes, ladies. You suffer and suffer and suffer. And eventually you are rewarded with just a straight man.
Just a man, a generic man. Congratulations. Yeah. I understand that, like, people don't always want to subject their partners to the full microscope of Bachelor Nation, but it always is a little funny to me when there's, like, a hard launch. Like, here's my boyfriend, we're kissing, here's his face, but I'm not going to tell you who he is. And you're like, this is not the hardest hard launch.
Well, that means there's just more to reveal. You get to dole it out in little pieces. There's so little that you can control when you are a reality star on social media. So, you know, give us little breadcrumbs. Maybe we'll get a tag eventually.
She had already teased this a few days before. She did it like an AMA on her stories. And then she posted a final slide that was like, and I've been up to more things. Maybe I'll tell you all soon. And you can see the back of the slide is a photo of her in the mirror with a man's like burly arm around her waist in a romantic clinch. And you're like, oh, so
that's,
I think,
what
I have
been
a sense
to
of what she's been up to. She's leaving this trail. Nice to see her having fun. Also, rough for Andrew, who has throughout his post-BIP media tour has been like, I'd still love to make things work with Teddy one day if I see her out there. And she's just like, sorry, I have been carefully crafting this reveal of my hot boyfriend.
I think Andrew's going to be okay.
I'm not really worried about him, just the juxtaposition. Let's talk about the one that took me the most aback in terms of the gossip items this week.
This one, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
What is happening here?
Everyone in Bachelor Nation collectively was like, wait, what's happening here?
I still don't really understand.
So we're talking about how Aubrey O'Day posted a video of herself hanging out with Jordan Vandergriff and Avon Jones of the Gaychel season of The Bachelorette. And she's just like going on and on about how Avon is the most handsome man in the world and she just loves him and she wants to have all his babies. And it's like, did you run into each other? Are you having a platonic group hang?
Yeah, like, why are you dating?
Like, how? For anyone who needs a refresher on Aubrey O'Day, she's a former pop star. She was part of Danity Kane. And most recently, in my recollection, she was in the public eye because it came out that she had an affair with Donald Trump Jr.
Ugh. Aubrey.
Aubrey.
Don't, come on. She's also been in a lot of reality TV shows, which is, I assume, why she met Jordan and Avon. She was on Celebrity Apprentice, so, you know, we can see the line there. Famously single, Ex on the Beach, and Celebrity Big Brother. So she's made the rounds.
I mean, as you point out with Celebrity Apprentice, she is connected through reality TV to both Donald Trump Jr. and Avon. And this is the thing to remember with all of our Bachelor people is that they're all part of this vast ecosystem of reality TV alums who ultimately are also connected to Donald Trump. It's dark.
It's very bleak.
That's true. I really hope that that Avon does not end up dating someone who had an affair with Donald Trump Jr.
I really want better for him.
I think he could
really would like
someone
for
with
him.
More discriminating taste. But yeah, I totally just like did not expect to see her in the same frame as one of our recent faves. So that was a shock. I think that more and more we've been seeing our like Bachelor alums. Like at first it felt like it was sort of like a fraternity or sorority just within the franchise. Like they had these meetups and they'd hang out. And then sometimes like they would show clips of those meetups on like The Bachelor or whatever and be like, they all got together and had a good time. But now it's like increasingly they're part of the social network of all reality show people who all want to make connections so they can stay relevant through each other and reach new audiences and build their platforms. And they're just getting savvier about it. Their agents are putting them in touch. Like, they are forming new, like, alliances. Like, all of the Love is Blind girls from the last two seasons ago are, like, friends with a bunch of Bachelor people now.
Mm-hmm.
They've learned how to, like, forge these
Honestly,
network connections.
Honestly, it's smart.
Yeah.
It's like when you get excited when you realize, like, two movie stars are friends with each other. There are now enough reality stars of enough generations that they can just start forming those networks in the same way that, like, we've always kind of seen done in Hollywood, in, like, the more traditional segment of the entertainment industry. And we've reached that point with reality TV.
And it's like professional friendship making has long been a part of the Hollywood scene or even like professional romance creation.
Yes.
Like your agent wants you to go out with someone who's in the public eye. Yeah, the showmans. And that's like become such a powerful part of the reality TV like gossip industry now is like they all hang out so that we all have a reason to talk about them again. Like, would I be talking about Avon or Aubrey O'Day if they hadn't literally been in the same place?
Absolutely not.
They're manipulating me.
Shall we move on?
Yeah. We got some like big happy life updates from some show alums. Becca and Thomas are continuing their march to the altar.
I am excited for this wedding. For the content of this wedding.
Every like little update is like they had two proposals. And now they have secured their wedding venue.
Good for them. Tia Booth had her baby with her fiance, Taylor Mock. Tatum Booth Mock was born on December 6th and is very cute.
So cute.
I have really been enjoying all of their cute baby content.
Yeah.
He's wearing like a lot of good outfits.
Yeah. Yeah. And doesn't have as much cradle cap as I remember certain other babies having at that age. My child, he's very cute. And meanwhile, Cien Fleming from Ari's season got married in Anguilla to her fiance, Doug Fillmore.
Congrats, Cien.
Congrats, Cien. I have like kind of lost track of her a little bit. And then she like popped up again when she got engaged. And so I know that he's like in real estate in LA and is looks very tall.
Their wedding photos are really beautiful. They're both very pretty.
Cien is so gorgeous.
Yeah.
I'm happy. I'm happy for her. Michelle Money of Brad Womack's season and Bachelor Pad is engaged to her boyfriend of 7 years, who just so happens to be Canadian PGA golfer Mike Weir, who has like won the Masters. Like he's a like top flight golfer. I think I'd heard his name before, which is saying a lot for a golfer because I do not pay attention. So,
but yeah, they've been dating for a long time and they are now engaged.
Yeah, congrats to
congrats to Michelle.
Let's get into some villains and what they've been up to. A lot of villain updates this December. Tierra Lukowski, now Tierra Lukowski Brown, iconic Bachelor villain from Sean Lowe's season.
Iconic.
She, I mean, if you didn't watch the season or if you don't remember, she was well known for like faking injury like twice or appearing to fake injury like twice to get Sean's attention.
She also had very expressive eyebrows,
which she could not control, according to her. And she's like, these girls are going to try to take away my sparkle. And my mama said, like, never let them take away your sparkle. Like, she just had like good lines, good plays. Very hateable. Sean loved her until abruptly he was like, oh, all of the women hate her. Maybe I shouldn't marry her. And that was what precipitated her exit from the show. Anyway, just time has passed. She got married and now she and her husband, Tyler Brooks Brown, are expecting their first child. They announced on
Congrats,
Instagram.
Tierra. Look, there is life after reality TV. It can happen. Speaking of franchise villains, Luke P, I will say significantly less amusing villain than Tierra.
Yeah.
Of Hannah Brown's season, he is the one that allowed her to scream, I had sex in a windmill and Jesus still loves me.
Yeah. He basically came into the season determined to kind of like have all of her from the beginning or to make her feel really bad about it or to leave. And so his whole arc just involved a lot of guilting her for
a lot of Jesus.
Going on other dates, a lot of Jesus, a lot of like, I need a pure woman. And ultimately he left around Fantasy Suites when he said that if she had sex with someone else, he would not move forward with her. And she was like, cool, well, I did, so bye. and he is now engaged to Jennifer Fruitacre, a longtime friend of his. And they posted a joint Instagram announcement. There is a whole carousel of engagement photos of them in like matching clingy white tees and jeans. And it is just like a very Luke P look. And he has found someone who really matches and resembles him in that way. And
yeah, she's willing to just like get into the look. And God, get into God.
I have to imagine she was already into God, that he was willing to even consider her. He is now sporting a really square, bushy beard. It's like modern Amish.
It's so angular. I'm looking at it right now, and it honestly changes the way that his entire face shape looks.
It looks like he's
very
a witness
startling.
Protection.
It looks like he just has the most rectangular head I've ever seen in my life.
I think I kind of like it.
And that's saying a lot for Bachelor.
I think I kind of like it. And here's why. I don't like his face because I don't like him. And so I grew to develop very negative associations with seeing his face. And now that more of it is covered, you know,
you can dissociate from who he is as a person.
I no longer
like,
have
that
knee-jerk
reaction
to his face.
Beard.
Yeah, I think it was a good move for him. But based on his caption to the announcement, I don't think he's trying to rebrand to make people like me like him more. He's happy with who he is. He's solid in his godly chasteness. Here's what he wrote. I've been on the hunt for a wife, parentheses, of noble character, / Proverbs 31 woman for a while now. Started to think
women. He actually wrote women.
Sorry. Proverbs 31 women for a while now. Started to think it was never going to happen. For those who need to hear, because I did, God's timing is perfect. He was on the hunt for a wife of noble character.
There are several grammatical errors here that are really
I am not even noticing the grammatical errors because it's just wild to me to post an engagement and to be like, I was hunting for a wife of noble character and I finally found one and I harpooned her and here she is. I found the last Proverbs 31 woman around.
I found the last Proverbs 31 women around. Well, you know what?
It's very
good,
on
good
brand.
For them.
It's very
I
on brand.
Wish for them the best godly life.
They seem very happy based on their Instagram post.
Other people that I hate that have some good news. Jordan Kimball expecting a baby. I'm sorry. I don't care. I have...
Yes, he I got really... married to a teacher, Christina, and they are having a baby boy.
Great, bringing another very Trumpy man into
the world.
I really
never cared for Jordan at all. And then the way that things went down with Jenna really put the nail in the coffin for me. And he's never really addressed it. And the fact that she was vilified and cast out and that he didn't stand behind her. Or even really listen to her side of things. And then
but he has
she was vindicated
his,
and he's
his
like,
love for Donald Trump. So, ugh,
God. At least Jenna has also moved on and has a beautiful baby. And everyone is just moving forward with their lives, except for us. I'm still stuck on the past. Let's talk about a non-villain alum who has some good news. Mike Johnson went on a couple pods. Chelsea Vaughn's new podcast, Vulnerable, and also I think Clickbait, and discussed the fact that he is no longer single.
Mike. Mike, I really want to know who he's in a relationship with because that's a lucky woman.
It sounds like he's not planning to keep it secret forever. Like he's planning to eventually go more public with it.
He's letting it incubate, which frankly is smart.
They've been dating for 6 months. I think they only, based on what he said on Clickbait, I think they only made it official about 2 months ago. So it's early. And so there's definitely time to let things solidify before a full launch, a hard launch. But I'm so happy for him. I love Mike. And while the dream of Bachelor Mike is drifting further from reality, I think it's clear that The Bachelor was never going to make him Bachelor. I don't know if he would have even said yes at this point after they kind of let him know moments before the live finale that he wasn't going to be Bachelor. I don't know if next time they came calling if he would have said yes. So I'm just going to be happy for him and...
I am happy for him. Look, as we know, finding love in the real world often that you can kind of control on your terms often like sets that relationship up for more success than finding love on the show. So I just want Mike to thrive.
Yeah. When you go on the show, you're usually looking at like a year to 2 year setback in actually finding someone that you can end up with because you're in the relationship off the show. It's rocky. You're dealing with all the press and then you break up and you're like traumatized and everyone has a microscope on you. And so it's not until like 2 years later that you can actually start like finding someone again.
Exactly.
So like, why would we want him to put his personal life back 2 years? I don't know. Selfishness. Congrats to Mike. We have some Paradise updates. Kira and Romeo split up after months of either sharing their second chance at love or like trolling us, which I still am very much
leaning towards trolling. Yeah.
Kira posted an Instagram story saying sometimes you shouldn't give people a second chance to disappoint you, and saying that they had gone their separate ways. And Romeo shared this with his response: just when I thought I was out, facepalm emoji, two sides to every story. Also on the grid, he posted a portrait of him in a suit. And the next photo is a zoomed in close up of him biting his lip during his infamous dissociated looking BIP exit. And he captioned it: it's been a journey, but it's time to say goodbye to the lip biter. Hashtag authenticity, hashtag growth, hashtag change, hashtag honesty. Interesting, interesting hashtags there. Is this a little wink to the fact that this was clearly a play for attention, that like they were not actually dating? Because this is the fakest seeming relationship.
I'm gonna say yes.
But I feel like Kira wants to play it like so straight.
Also, yes. I think they are potentially not aligned on how they wanted this to go. But
yeah.
Yeah.
It was always weird how they sort of leaned into it in this way that's like, we're in on the joke, like, I kidnapped him, haha. But also, we're actually dating. And you kind of, when you have to eventually end the relationship, you either have to treat it like you're breaking off a real relationship, or you have to kind of finally be like, yeah, we were just having fun. We were just messing with you.
Yeah, like, we're kind of done with this. This was fun.
Yeah.
And look, the content was funny.
Yeah. And you could have done a breakup post that was in on the same joke, that was just like, finally unshackling Romeo from my basement or whatever. Like,
what it actually makes me think is that they were not in agreement about how and when to end it.
Yeah.
Even if it was not actually like a real committed relationship.
Yeah. I love Zachary Reality posted a video just being like, I was really rooting for this couple more than anyone else in the franchise.
Like, what?
He was totally joking, but like, no one, like, it went over like everyone's head in the comments. They're like, really? They didn't seem real at all.
He really did seem earnest in that video, to be honest.
I mean, it's like, just, Zachary. I'm sorry. It is totally impossible that anyone felt like they were the realest couple to come off of Paradise.
No, they're, yes, also true. Also
it's just
true.
So at odds with all of the evidence in front of us that I my guess was sarcasm, which some of his comments also confirmed to me. But
yes, I think it's best for both of them to have a little freedom
to move on.
Along.
Yeah. Speaking of moving on, but in this case, moving on together, Brandon and Serene moved in together last month. They are now in San Diego. And Serene is leaving teaching to pursue the field she got her degree in, journalism and communications. Hell yeah, baby.
Welcome
to the club.
Welcome.
Start a podcast about The Bachelor. I don't have a degree in journalism.
There aren't enough.
So,
there are not enough.
Yeah. It's, I think that for people who come on the show from a job like nursing or teaching, there is a lot of expectation that you will like validate that you're the person that the fans thought you were by staying in that field. I think with teaching, it's especially hard because it's really not a flexible job. Like if you're teaching, you're in the classroom every day for most of the year. And if you want to have any kind of public profile, which you do if you go on this show, you can't really do both. And Michelle clearly like almost had a breakdown trying to do that. And I'm glad that Serene is just like going for it.
I agree. And I also just want to say that like healthcare and teaching have been two of the jobs that have been the most difficult to go through in the midst of a pandemic. And like, anyone in either of those fields who says, I am burnt out and I would like to take a step back for any reason, I respect that. And
yeah,
like, don't shit on people for like they aren't our martyrs. You know,
it's been an incredibly hard time to be a teacher or a healthcare worker. I think nurses are on strike right now at two hospitals in New York, and I think we're going to see more of that kind of pushback as these
with good reason
people are fleeing the fields and they don't all get to go on The Bachelor first and get a pathway into a new career. So we're very happy for Serena and Brandon, and just looking forward to following their sweet content together.
Me too. I'm so into Serene and Brandon, and also into Danielle and Michael, who are still going strong. Danielle is moving to Ohio soon. They were posting videos over the holidays of them checking out apartments, finding a place. Like, she's sort of settling, I think, a lease and moving her job. She is a nurse to Ohio. They also had a fun little New Year's Eve in Chicago, in which they were hanging out with Kate Steinberg and Chad Savage, who were the final couple on the first season of The 12 Dates of Christmas. Deep and they cut. Are still together.
I love them. The fact that you can go on a show them. As deranged as The 12 Dates of Christmas.
And that, like,
very few people watched. It was such, like, a high-concept, weird show.
I loved it.
They ended up just, like, in this very solid, committed relationship from that. I mean,
and also, Kate is now, like, a TikTok star because she does a lot of, like, millennial TikTok
and
content.
Chad has a watch line.
Yeah, you know what, I love them. They seem adorable, and I like that they're friends with Danielle and Michael. This is just more of that crossover content that I crave.
Yeah, I love that they're, like, making inroads into the Bachelor community. So on that note, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back to talk about Chris Harrison's new podcast.
Can you keep up?
If you have a cat, you want your cat to be healthy and happy because, of course, that makes you happy.
But since, you know, people aren't mind readers, we don't always know when our cats are unwell.
So helping us keep tabs on our cat's health is just one reason you should use Pretty Litter.
Pretty Litter's ultra-absorbent crystals trap odor instantly. No more cat bathroom smell.
Pretty Litter's super light crystal base also minimizes mess and dust.
Here's the coolest thing about Pretty Litter. It actually changes color to help monitor early signs of potential illness in your cats, including urinary tract infections and kidney issues.
Plus, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door in a small, lightweight bag.
Our producer, Talon, has started using Pretty Litter for his cats, and he is a huge fan already. He's found that, like, the crystals really do soak up that odor, and cleaning the litter box is easier than it's ever been because it doesn't get all, like, weird and clumpy inside, which I remember so well from cleaning my cat's litter box.
Pretty Litter helps keep tabs on your cat's health and keep odors down.
You and your cat are going to love Pretty Litter as much as we do.
Go to prettylitter.com/LTSI and use code LTSI to save 20% on your first order.
That's prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI to save 20%.
prettylitter.com/LTSI, code LTSI.
Terms and conditions apply. See site for details. 1 in 5 Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list.
If, like us, that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off the list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove Babbel is better.
One study even found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college.
Oh man, could have saved so much time. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. I recently was in France and Portugal, and I was trying my hand at getting more comfortable with French, really brushing up a little bit, and I found Babbel so helpful. I'm not going to say that I, like, arrived all fluent, but I did feel much more comfortable ordering food in restaurants, asking for directions, reading signs, speaking to people when I was buying something, without having to constantly be consulting a language app.
Here's a special limited time deal for listeners.
Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/LTSI.
Get 55% off at babbel.com/LTSI.
spelled BABBEL.com/LTSI.
Rules and restrictions may apply.
Let me set the scene. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at actually unbeatable prices.
I love it.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach.
Like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. We truly love to see it.
By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes.
I love Quince, and I actually have a couple recent Quince purchases that I'm really excited about. I just ordered the Glow Boho hoops to have like kind of a chunkier version of my usual gold hoops to wear, like maybe on a date night or something. And they are beautiful. They're everything I dreamed of.
Indulge in affordable luxury.
Go to quince.com/LTSI for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns.
That's quince.com/LTSI to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/LTSI.
And we are back. And let me tell you, I did not go into 2023 being like, what I want to do is talk more about Chris Harrison. And yeah.
Well, Chris Harrison begs to differ. Chris Harrison definitely thinks that you are so excited to talk about Chris Harrison more in 2023.
Well, this is probably my play for clickbait because why would we ever criticize Chris Harrison unless it was a fundamentally evil, selfish ploy in order to boost our own profiles?
Yeah, we're like lampreys. We're just parasites on him. And we're just reveling in this. We smell blood in the water. And we're just like, let's go after Chris. This will be so fun. So for those who haven't heard, Chris Harrison has started a podcast with iHeartRadio called The Most Dramatic Podcast Ever with Chris Harrison. Brilliant. It is a nod at The Bachelor, but clearly not something The Bachelor has copyrighted. So he can just use it and be like, remember me? I was that guy on The Bachelor.
I think that's the best part of this podcast. That's where
I don't like it as a name. I just like how petty it is to like find the most evocative of The Bachelor thing that he can, that they haven't copyrighted, that he can use. He is executive producing it along with his fiance, entertainment reporter Lauren Zima, and their company.
Lauren Zima. Lauren Zima.
I would never
Lauren Zima.
Not say Lauren Zima. And their company, Next Chapter Productions. So iHeart put out a press release explaining what the show would be about, which still left me and still leaves me quite confused. Quote,
same.
Fans can expect to hear Chris open up like never before using his unparalleled expertise.
On what?
He will dig into all things relationships every week. Fans will no longer just be going along for the ride. They'll be up close and personal with Chris as he navigates through dating, marriage, love, loss, and more. For the first time ever, Chris will discuss everything, and there's no telling what he'll have to say.
I don't need relationship advice from Chris Harrison. Just going to put that out there.
I don't also really understand, like, is it an advice show? Is it going to be him
talking about his own
dating and marriage, his own, or is he going to be taking callers? Is he going to be interviewing people about?
Extremely unclear, because the first two episodes, which we did because we are so dedicated to you, our audience, we did listen to both hour-long episodes that dropped this morning. Felt longer. Felt 7 years long. We did listen to those episodes, and then apparently the third episode is just like random people calling with comments about Chris and their feelings.
Oh, no.
So I'm unclear on, you know, what the show as a whole is going to be, because so far these first three episodes seem like one and dones.
Right. They're really setting it up as like, we wanted to do a podcast so Chris could finally talk about his feelings about everything that happened. And then we'll just like think of something else to do when that's over, when that well is dry. Maybe they have it all planned out, but it is as much as I do think people, like, that is the draw of the show, is, like, what does Chris Harrison really think? He's never spoken publicly. It also doesn't give you a good introduction to an ongoing weekly show to do it just as content that it does not reflect what the rest of the show is going to be.
There almost should have been an intro episode that was like, here's the concept, and then like
right.
a special episode if like Chris speaks.
Which is what makes it feel like they haven't figured out what the concept is yet. I imagine they have, because they have to start releasing those other episodes pretty soon. But it creates this feeling of aimlessness. Like he's been in TV for a long time. Lauren is a big time reporter. It feels weirdly amateurish to start it this way, like with that little of a blueprint for what's coming, or like a clear sense of what the show actually is. It feels like when a Bachelor contestant starts a podcast and their first episode is just like, here's how I feel about what went down with my ex or whatever. And it's like, okay, so like, what is the show? Or did you just know that you could do a podcast now, and so you just started one and you're just going to see what happens?
Chris also has a lot of disdain for podcasts podcasters, but he also is like, I am a podcaster and I do have a podcast now. There's a lot of conflict within him.
Yeah. No, he's clear. I get it. It's hard to suddenly find yourself in the midst of a, you know, relying on a medium you disdain. They released a trailer.
The most appalling part of the trailer was that the audio quality was abysmal. And I was like, really?
I was
like,
worried.
Is this what we're going to get? Because
they did fix it.
They did fix it.
He kept like bumping into things and moving away from the mic. And I was like, wow, I didn't know anyone could be worse than me at staying the right distance from the mic. But no, they fixed it before the first two episodes. So in these episodes, especially the first of the two-parter, he is basically just sharing his feelings for the first time about the controversy that led to him leaving The Bachelor. He's never really talked about it publicly. For those who have forgotten, what happened is that photos came out of Rachel Kirkconnell, the winner of that season of The Bachelor, at an antebellum ball event, sort of a racist plantation ball in costume. And it was a big, you know, controversy. She was dating the first Black Bachelor on the show. She was participating in this racist tradition in these photos that had only happened a couple years before the show was airing. And so it was very fresh. And people were quite critical of her and the show for casting her.
At this time, also, I want to say that, like, Rachel had basically been told not to speak, not to comment at all about it. So her feelings about it, which ended up being, I will say, quite different from what Chris expressed, like, on her behalf in this interview we're talking about, those were not public at the time.
Yeah. And so he was sent out to defend the franchise. And I guess Rachel Kirkconnell, in an interview with Rachel Lindsay, who's a host on Extra. And in the interview, it just went very poorly. You know, he was defending Rachel in terms that were pretty offensive, you know, saying that things were different back when the photos were taken in 2018, that like they weren't seen as offensive then. He was, you know, making very dismissive comments about the severity of what was depicted. And to Rachel Lindsay, the show's first Black bachelorette, who is very educated on these issues and very outspoken, and she was being very professional with him, but also pressing him on some of these things. And he was very dismissive of her and her reactions, sort of treated her any criticisms that she conveyed as just sort of bad faith and unfair to like this poor young woman, and tried to sort of cloak himself in like, oh, well, you and I, Rachel, we're friends. We understand each other on this. And Rachel Lindsay was like, what? I'm not co-signing this. So after the interview, she was kind of open about the fact that she felt like he was talking over her and was dismissive of her.
And a lot of fans and a lot of recappers, media critics, us included, were very offended and very angry watching this interview. And this became part of a larger conversation, which had been brewing for a long time, about the ingrained racism of the Bachelor franchise. And, you know, a lot of alums started kind of speaking up and distancing themselves from Chris, and also expressing, a lot of people of color who had been on the show began expressing their discomfort with, you know, appearing on, say, Bachelor in Paradise with a man who held these views, hosting and kind of ushering them through that journey. And so ultimately, after posting what I thought was a very lackluster public apology, and this not blowing over, he was kind of pushed to resign from the show. He was given a very handsome payout as a result.
Yeah.
And he went away for a little bit.
Yeah. And so important to note also, this will again and again seem relevant as we talk about his podcast. On her podcast, Higher Learning, and she said it multiple times, I think.
Yes.
Rachel has said that she hasn't heard from Chris since that conversation directly, that after he apologized publicly and she sort of spoke out and was like, let's accept the apology and move on, he unfollowed her on Instagram. They haven't been in touch since. And she says, like, I wouldn't go on his podcast. It would feel disingenuous for him to try to have me on at this point. But if he wants to talk, he can come on my podcast. I would be surprised to see him doing that if he hasn't been able to reach out to her in private for 2 years.
He's absolutely disinterested. And it's very clear, listening to the podcast, that these podcast episodes are for the subset of the Bachelor audience that believes Chris was done a big wrong.
Oh, yeah. He talks to the audience like, this is for you, all of you who I love and you love me. And we talk to each other. We always have. And I'm like,
what?
What?
I'm like, Chris, the first time we spoke to you, you very dismissively told us that if we thought the show was pitting women against each other, that was a problem with us and we probably hated women. So,
yeah
no, we've never really had that relationship with you, bud.
I feel like he thinks that when he is on screen being like, Bachelor Nation, like, welcome to the most dramatic, that's him like having a conversation with us and we're friends. And I don't really see TV hosting that way. But that is how he appears to have envisaged it in his mind. So the podcast dropped this morning, the morning we're taping, January 9th. And we rushed to listen to it so that hopefully you won't have to listen to it.
This is truly the most self-indulgent bullshit I have ever consumed. And I can't believe there were two episodes of it.
Well, one episode was just to rehash all the same stuff, but with Lauren Zima there so that he could be like, and Lauren Zima, you were my rock through all of it. And she could be like, well, Chris, I know that's not who you really are. And that's what was so hard. And it's just kind of content-wise the same stuff as the first 45 minutes.
Also, it's so clear that he signed a very tight contract with The Bachelor, obviously, for his exit. Because, again, they paid him millions of dollars.
They didn't pay him millions of dollars so he could sit down and, like, rip them all
spill
to shreds, spill the tea.
So he barely says anything. Like, he does not get into how that interview came about. He doesn't give you any new information except that he's ashamed he didn't fight harder for himself.
Yeah. No, there's no information. It's all just like his emotional reaction to everything that happened.
And all the reflecting he's done is truly self-centered. He does not say one thing about racism. He does not use the word racism. He does not mention Rachel Lindsay. He like has not done any reflecting or learning within the area of which he was called out. And like, he just does not make the connection that things that he did led to the fact that he had to leave the show. He's like, I made a mistake, sure. And then I was cruelly pushed out by cancel culture. Yeah.
I would say that without fully standing behind what he said in that interview, again, like you say, he does make this statement, yeah, oh, I misstepped, I made a mistake, what I said didn't reflect how I really feel. He's not doing the thing where he comes out and is like, I'm red-pilled now, everything I said was right, and that's fine. But he doesn't really want to engage with what was wrong with it or whether it might have reflected anything deeper about himself and or the franchise. He's just like, well, that was a mistake, but what I really want to talk about is how bad I feel for myself and how hard that was for me and how that's not who I am in my heart. I'm just like someone who leads with love, and I am a bit of an empath, actually. He literally says he's a bit of an empath.
He also was raised to always do what's right. And that's just who he is. He always does what's right.
And that's so simple. That's the thing. Doing what's right is always this really simple thing that you just do the right thing. And then no one can ever come after you because you just did the right thing. I always think, like, what kind of life you must lead to think that doing the right thing is necessarily a simple thing when the world is so complicated and full of...
Right. It really reminds me of that episode of The Good Place where they find the man who is, like, jumping through all of these hoops to try to never do something that has a negative impact. And they sort of discover, like, the virtual impossibility of it.
Yeah.
And, like, all the ways in which whatever you do might cause harm, whether or not it's intentional. And, like, Chris can't really wrap his mind around that. He sort of dances. He acknowledges, like, clearly I made some people feel bad. He does sort of the, like, I'm so sorry if you felt that way.
Yeah. I just want to wrap my arms around you and be like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that if I hurt you and made you feel like excluded or whatever. And
but
I just
also
think
I'm
that's...
ashamed that I didn't let more people defend me.
Oh, yeah. He's very, very upset and ashamed that he didn't let people defend him. And it's wild to me that he keeps saying that he just so desperately wanted to apologize and make things right, because he could very easily, I think, have reached out privately to at least one person without it being speaking publicly and adding fuel to anything. He could have privately reached out to Rachel and apologized, and he never did it. So if it was so hard for you, if you're so desperate to apologize, why didn't you? No one was stopping
you. No, what he wanted was to apologize publicly in a way that people would accept and thus move on.
Yeah.
And it was fascinating to me because he kind of says this explicitly.
Oh, yeah. That part
was... He says, oof. Apologies didn't matter. I've never seen a time like that. I've never known that not to work. And that language
not to
is
work.
So telling. He's like, I did it. I said I'm sorry, and it just, like, didn't fix anything. Like, that usually works for me. People have to move on because I said I'm sorry.
Yeah. We podcast too, Chris. We're also in the public eye in the same way now, because we're all just podcasters. We've messed up. It's very uncomfortable to feel like nothing I can say will make what happened okay.
Better.
But one thing that you can't do, that I try not to do, is to think that, like, just making an apology means anyone owes me forgiveness.
Right. Like, that is what you should do, because yes, you should, if you make a mistake publicly, you should confront it publicly, but you are not owed absolution as a result of that.
Right. Because then that's like, oh, the apology didn't work.
He's like, the apology was a tool.
Right. The job it was supposed to accomplish was forgiveness for me.
And also that makes me feel like then your apology wasn't even sincere, because if you give an apology with the expectation of some sort of specific reaction or some sort of, like, material reward with his job as a result, then that apology is not grounded in an actual accounting for what you did. And he says that very explicitly in this podcast.
Yeah. And kind of attributes it to what was going on in that moment, which this did happen during a time when conversations around Black Lives Matter and racism were very prominent in, you know, the media and in the public eye. There were protests happening in the streets. There were a lot of conversations about racism in different industries and what could be done about it. And for him, it's like, oh, well, this was bad timing for me to fuck up and be racist. At this point, like, it was combustible. And I just got swept up in that. He says, you know, I made my apology. It didn't work. We were still at ground zero. It was confusing. It was scary. There's still no, like, understanding of what it's like for people who aren't you, Chris, like powerful white men, to be caught up in these industries where there usually isn't grace, where there usually isn't forgiveness, where there isn't this desire to, like, make things work out for you. Like, there's no understanding that this is a very, there's so much concern for his feelings and the trauma he endured and the pain and the suffering and the death threats. And it's like, you know who else got a lot of death threats after this? Rachel Lindsay. And she didn't get a $10 million payout from this.
It's just, look, so, you are allowed to be privately feel sorry for yourself when you're going, or like feel shame or whatever. But this, like, coming out as though he's like, I've been deprived of my voice for so long, and here I am ready to speak my truth. And my truth is, I'm the real victim here. It's just wild.
The ways that he tries to, like, paint himself as the victim. Like, he tells this one, he starts talking about how all of these people started capitalizing on this and fueling it and trying to, like, you know, make money off of talking about him on their podcasts. And hi, Chris. And also, like, trying to get his job. And he tells a story about a former bachelorette asking, they were in the room with producers, I guess, asking to host the next bachelorette right in front of him. And he's like, hey, I'm right here. That's my job. That's how I pay my mortgage. I'm like, dude, if you have a mortgage to pay after the millions you've made off this show, that's on you. Like, I would have paid off a house by now.
Yeah, he really could just do, like, one of those all cash offers we see on Selling Sunset.
He probably did. I'm like, do you actually have a mortgage? It's just so, like, I'm
salt
just
of
like
the earth.
Bachelor fans Claire of Middle did. America. I have to worry about my mortgage
Claire did
payments.
Send me a link.
Meanwhile, he's doing a spread in, like, an Austin lifestyle magazine about his beautiful new custom home with a wine room with Lauren Zima. And he's, like, worried about how he's going to pay his mortgage because Caitlin Bristow might get to host The Bachelorette. Come on.
Oh my God. He also does, like, a nice little dig at people who, like, deigned to have a conversation with the network about the job after he was fired. I think, like, Wells and Nick Vile. And though he also praises Wells and a little bit Nick, but he's clearly, like, he clearly has this well of resentment in him that anyone...
He's bitter, but he doesn't want to be on the outs.
Right, but he's clearly bitter that people deigned to even have a conversation about maybe getting a job, which was vacant. Like, come on, man. He's like, oh, it's just so unique, the situation I'm in, where I am creating 25 to 30 people who want to host my show every season. He's a victim. He did it. He created them. He created them, but also he had virtually no power in this show. He did not edit the show. He did not make any choices. He did, however, create influencers and future hosts who are trying to take his job.
Yeah, they should just be grateful, and they should all stand up and say, I am Chris Harrison, and I will not host this show because I am he and he is me and we are one. That's what they should have done. It's ludicrous.
He also seems to really paint himself as the victim of Bachelor alums who were critical about his, like, pretty overt racism. Like, like, if you're criticizing him, that's just your 15 minutes of fame. That's just you using him. Yeah. On your book tours, which to me does feel like a dig at, like, Matt James and Rachel Lindsay.
Yeah, primarily Bachelor alums of color who spoke out about the racism of the franchise and and issues they faced. And like the way that like he feels aggrieved that people who were on the show wanted to talk about this publicly because they're just using it to get more famous. But he was on a show where his own fame and the show's fame was built on the humiliations of contestants who were unpaid and really had nothing, got nothing out of the show unless they fought like hell to build a brand off of it. And he benefited from that. He benefited from going out there and backing up the show's narrative on like, this is the villain, this is the mean girl. And, you know, sometimes those people sucked, I'm sure, but like you were benefiting from furthering a public narrative about how much they sucked. And so was The Bachelor. You are in that. So like, you don't like being on the wrong end of that, I'm sure. But at least, again, at least you got a huge payout directly from the show, which none of these people got. It's, yeah. And yeah, and the fact that he keeps being like, I didn't have any control over the show. And I'm like, okay, but you were an executive producer.
And he also keeps talking about how like, he built this. He created all of the monsters that came out of it. And yet he had no power. It's just those things are contradictory.
Yeah. He can't decide whether he was like so important to the show and pouring everything into it or whether he was just a cog.
Oh, he also is like, yeah, I have been keeping an eye on the dropping ratings. And, you know,
And it makes me so sad.
But also, you know, I mean, scorecards.
It does not
also
make him sad.
My dude. There are a lot of things that go into declining ratings of The Bachelor that have fucking nothing to do with you. First of all, those ratings are like have not really evolved to include like streaming. There's more content now. Shows overall on networks have been dropping in ratings. Also, there's other reality shows that were created that feel more current than The Bachelor. Like this has nothing to do with you.
Also, I'm sure that there are people who stopped watching the show because he left and because of everything that happened. Of course, people stop watching all the time.
And we support you.
And we support you. And the thing is that I think it was inevitable. I think that some people were going to stop watching the show based on how The Bachelor franchise handled this. And I actually think that probably people on both sides left after what happened because it was such a shit show. I think the people left because they're like, the show is too racist to support. I think some people left because they're like, I miss Chris Harrison and cancel culture is so terrible. The problem is not that you are so important to the show, Chris. It's that the show's audience is polarized in this way and the show hasn't been able to figure out how to make everyone happy. And you're just like one symptom of that. And that was going to be an issue for the show. But it's not because you have like the special sauce or something. I also like the thing that really I didn't expect to happen, but it still made me mad that it didn't happen, is that he didn't really address at all the fact that this wasn't a one-off. No. That like he has a history of making troubling comments about racism on the show, about sexism on the show, about fatness on the show.
No, instead he's like, he acts as though this was the only thing he ever did that caused any harm.
Yeah, exactly. And like there was a whole conversation that happened after this interview and that people had been talking about in the past about how he did have a history of talking about, you know, oh, people are always asking if we could ever have a Black Bachelor, but like, we don't want, you know, the show's ratings to plummet and like, we need to have an actually good Bachelor lead and not just a Black one. You know, he was whenever he was asked about sensitive topics,
terrible
on
answers
the show,
all around,
terrible answers, always put his foot in his mouth. And so it wasn't surprising, actually, that he acted like a fool in this interview. It was of a piece with his past statements on similar issues. And he just doesn't get into that. He's like, I've always just wrapped everyone in love and acceptance. And then this one time I like kind of fucked up because I was so tired and people are mad and I don't know why. And it's like, that's just clearly come through that that is your attitude in so many of your past interviews about the show. There's just no... There, it seems like there was a lot of, he feels that there was a lot of self-flagellation and I felt so guilty about what happened. But if there was, it was around being like, I misspoke. I didn't present my true self well. And not a lot of reckoning with like, do I have some deeper work to do on how I think about these things?
Certainly that work, none of that work has happened. He also talks about the fact that there was a response to the announcement of his podcast and is like, sure, yeah, I guess people have things to say about it. I'm like, dude, you dropped a trailer that's meant to elicit conversation. That's the point of a trailer.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, there are people, good people like Ashley and Ben, because they're good people, who expressed excitement about my podcast because they're good people and they know that it's not clickbait to praise me. Everyone else,
no.
Anyone who criticized me, that is exploitative clickbait.
I agree. I think that our fans are good people and our critics are just doing clickbait. I think that everyone feels that way if they're being totally honest with themselves. But maybe they shouldn't like talk
maybe
about it.
Maybe don't say it.
And I'm kidding. I take our critics very seriously and I spend a lot of time in therapy on it. But it was just so obvious that, yeah, he doesn't feel comfortable taking
of any kind from anyone
on board. Yeah. I get that, like, getting a huge wave, and it was a huge media firestorm. It's hard to metabolize all that, but it's been like
that's
a while.
Thing. That's
it's
the
been
thing.
A
we
while.
Have a, we do have empathy for the way that, like, the internet ecosystem works, and we've talked a lot about how people don't really have the capacity to, yeah, process that level of feedback from so many sources. But he has had, like, 2 years to process this and think about it. And the things that he came away with are, I am the victim. I should have let more people more loudly defend me. And what I said, which was insensitive and not racism, because he never uses the word racism, like that just simply doesn't define me. And it's actually your fault if you think that it does.
He says, if this doesn't define me, and if it defines me to you, that's on you. That's not on me. This appears to be a consistent.
Yeah, this is what he said to us about
mind
sexism.
Trick that he does. Yeah, this is when we asked him a question at HuffPost Live about whether the two Bachelorette season was pitting women against each other. He said that people who were upset because, quote, it's probably an issue you have with yourself or with other women. So he's very, that is the way that his brain goes. That's where it goes. It's just like, if you're upset at me about this thing, then it's probably because you're projecting and you're actually the one with the issue. I'm fine. I didn't do anything wrong. It must be a very peaceful way to live.
I think he is, frankly, full of peace in his custom giant dual desk, steel desk office with Lauren Zima, the love of his life.
Yeah, the love of his life, Lauren Zima, or as he apparently calls her, LZ.
That's basically the only information I really learned from listening to 2 hours of Chris's podcast.
She seems very tickled that he always calls her Lauren Zima. She's like, please say my entire name.
Also learned that she's not changing her last name, which, frankly, it's the most progressive thing about Chris, that he's like, not.
I mean, he's willing to allow her.
Like,
yeah. So the Lauren Zima segment of this involved a little bit more of Lauren Zima talking about how hard it was to end her recap show about The Bachelor because this happened, and how upset she was that Chris misspoke so much in this interview and did not present his true heart and led to all this happening. But you know what? They're just more in love and stronger than ever.
Oh, also, Chris has one Jewish grandmother. This enraged
me.
He starts to quote, he's like, as my late grandmother said, my late Jewish grandmother, Mimi. Like, Chris, what are you doing with that? What the word Jewish is doing a lot of work for you right here. And as a Jew, I really fucking resent that, and it's really weird.
There was no need for it to be brought into it.
Like, it did not add anything. He was just saying, like, a platitude that his grandmother always said.
It wasn't like a Jewish proverb.
Nothing to do with Judaism.
It was just some grandmotherly advice.
It really felt like he was trying to be like, oh, you thought I was pure white Southern, which is what he does say, that he's a Southern boy, like, many times. He's like, oh, one of my grandparents was Jewish. So
don't you feel bad?
Don't you feel bad now for thinking
that you misunderstood him?
All of your children are going to Texas Christian University. Like, you don't get to claim Judaism. No.
He's like, oh my God. He's like Representative Santos. He's like, he yeah. didn't say I was Jewish. I said I was Jewish.
He's like, I just said that my family members escaped the Holocaust. No, that wasn't Chris. That was Santos. And that was a lie.
Rough episode for the Jews. Yeah. Well, I don't think that we need to devote any more time to this. We really don't want to even give more air to it, except that I do think there is curiosity about what he would say.
And I will say, I don't recommend don't you to have to. Yeah, listen. I do not recommend anyone.
It's not
listening
worth it.
Or giving
really
this ratings.
Just very repetitive, feeling sorry for himself about cancel culture, pretty much beginning to end. So there you go.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back to talk about the promos for Zach Shallcross's season of The Bachelor. Can you keep up? I like, love it. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Lately, my social battery has actually been full to bursting. I feel like I've barely been able to see anyone all winter, especially with little kids at home and constant daycare bugs. And I'm just like dying to get out there and see some people. And, you know, it's actually been kind of hard at times over the winter to feel like I'm just desperate to see friends and I don't have time to do it.
I feel like we're constantly trying to regulate, like, what's the correct amount of social energy? What kind of space do we need to carve out to actually give ourselves the space to socialize? What space do we need to carve out to give ourselves time to actually recharge? Either way, therapy can give you some self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery or store it up a little too much.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/love to see it today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/love to see it. Okay, so you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what comes next.
If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola.
With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake.
Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually even enjoyable.
There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or, you know, from your couch, which is certainly how, if I was planning a wedding, I would definitely want to do it as loungily as possible.
So important.
I also just know myself. I know that planning any kind of event, like even a birthday party, can get very stressful. And so it's been really cool to see friends use Zola. It really seems to make everything a lot less stressful. And as a frequent wedding attender, I love to be able to hop on that Zola registry and just purchase a gift. Easy peasy. I know I've done it. I won't forget. Thank you, Zola.
Yeah, everything's all in the same place. It's perfect. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. And we're back. And we're ready to strap in, buckle up, strap on the old knapsack for Zach Shallcross's season.
It's
I don't
happening.
Know why I'm turning this into some sort of road trip metaphor.
It feels like a road trip. We really have. It's going to be such a long road trip.
It's like going to be like a road trip that I used to take a lot from the top of Indiana into Kentucky to visit my grandma. The most boring road trip.
It's just
no
all
scenery.
Flatlands.
It's just all flatlands. So promos of Zach's Bachelor season have begun to trickle out. Of course, we're just 2 weeks away from the premiere, so they're trying to get us excited. They love to brand a bachelor. I think that this is more important for bachelors because they typically pick a guy who's like super bland and no one is excited about him, so they have to give him like a little nickname.
Like,
or
there's
something.
A thing about him. He Zach has something, maybe not a personality, but something.
We remember Prince Farming for Chris.
Honestly,
Holes.
that was a good one.
We remember Pilot Pete. We remember that Clayton was like the underdog. And that caused its own controversy, of course, because Rodney was the underdog that we wanted. Zach, I couldn't even begin to think what they would think of for Zach. And they didn't really come up with much.
They didn't seem to know either.
They didn't know either. Zach is Mr. Right Reasons.
Like, okay, man.
Here's the thing. That's like the baseline. Like, aren't they all just supposed to be there for the right reasons? It's just like Mr. Bachelor contestant. Like,
well, frankly, that is a really accurate branding for Zach. He is just Mr. Bachelor contestant.
Mr. Bachelorette contestant.
Just like a guy. He's a guy. He's just a man. He's just a man out here trying to date some women. And that's about all I have to say about him.
Yeah, it's really like having the brand be like, nice guy, TM. Like, that is the baseline expectation for this role, is that he's here for the right reasons or that he's nice. And now you're telling me that's his big thing? Like, is there anything else other than he meets the most low bar qualification for being on the franchise at all? Also, I'm like, were your other bachelors not there for the right reasons? You always say that they're there for the right reasons. So what
he's just, he has extra right reasons, Claire.
Yeah.
More right reasons.
He's the right reasonsiest guy. He doesn't even know there are cameras there. He's just so desperate to date. And they were like, come, we have dates over here. And he was like, great. Looks like a great opportunity to meet my wife. Is this for TV? And they're like, no, no. And he's like,
y'all,
cool.
I cannot get it up for this season. I'm going to try.
I know.
But I'm really struggling. I'm like, can we just talk about more rom-coms on this podcast?
Yeah, I'm going to get into it as soon as we meet the women. That's the thing.
I need some characters I can connect to, and that's just not going to be Zach for me. Unless something really changes.
It's not going to be Zach. They try, you know, they find his angles in this little teaser. They have him wink at the camera. He looks handsome.
Sure.
They're working the he's handsome angle. But like, I don't feel it. Then we get a more extensive promo when we see some bits of the season. In another promo, we see that there are more women coming on a date, you know, classic moment, more women, and out walks Victoria Fuller and also Courtney Robertson and Taj Wan.
I think that, like that they are there like to lead a date.
Well, Victoria and Courtney
clearly
are off the market. So they're obviously not there to date. Taj Wan could be there to participate.
Could be. No, I could see them sort of spinning that out and like drawing Taj Wan into the show more the season more largely in some way. But
yeah,
it seems like they
obviously Courtney Robertson, who is like married, is not there.
And Victoria, who is very happy with Greg. Like they're not trying to date Zach.
Yeah.
Courtney Robertson.
No, they're not
is like,
to date Zach.
I gotta leave my husband for this 25-year-old.
He's so there for the right reasons, though. How could you not? Courtney Robertson would eat Zach alive.
Yeah.
There would be nothing left. Can you imagine Courtney Robertson on his season?
She would demolish him.
It makes me laugh. It's an interesting assortment, though, because when I saw Victoria and Courtney, I was like, oh, are they bringing in like a trio of like power villains from past seasons? But then Taj Wan is like not a power villain. So it's like they have this duo of power villains. And then Taj, who is like a whole different kind of character from the show. So I'm like, what's the angle?
Yeah. Who knows what they're doing? But you know what? Let's get some familiar faces. Let's cause some chaos. Zach is going to need it.
I love seeing Courtney back on the screen. Also, later in this promo, one woman says that if she doesn't get a rose, she will burn the house down. It looks like Kat, who was the one who was doing a very bad bit during first impressions. So it seems like she's definitely going to go in as like a wacky character, as it seemed when we first met her. Should be fun. Lots of crying. Jesse has apparently said that this was the most emotional season he's hosted.
I'm always scared that that means it's going to be traumatic for us to recap.
It will probably.
What do they
like,
do
they've
this?
Already been so emotional.
Guys.
How can it be more emotional? The last season
what
that
about
he
joy?
Hosted.
What about fun?
Ended with like Rachel sobbing on the stairs for hours. Like how much more emotional can
we?
Can
we
be?
Just have some fun? Like this man is so boring. Just yeah. have some fun.
They need to start having in mind, like, we want to do a promo where we're like, this is the most fun season.
They're just, I don't know what they're doing.
This is the most romantic season I've ever hosted. How about that crazy idea? It's always like, this is the most dramatic. This is the most emotional. This is
like,
the most
I don't care to see more tears.
This is the
I've seen enough
therapy.
I've seen enough emotional drama. I just want to see some fun, some goofiness. Give me some bloopers. Give me some good old romance that does not involve someone
yes.
suffering to the edge of their fucking sanity. I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah, I know. I'm not. That makes me less excited, but we'll see. We're going to be there for every step of the way.
I am excited to get into the cast. The cast bios are out and we yes. are going to do a dedicated episode to those bios. Do not worry. It is coming.
Yeah. Next week. Gird your loins. We missed. I mean, Jesse Palmer announced the full cast in a TikTok live, which I missed. I thought I'd be able to watch a replay like I did last time, but they didn't save it.
Probably because there were too many tech issues the first time they did it. And they were like, we can't.
They just gave up. Yeah. Apparently the audio was cutting in and out constantly. No one could hear anything. That
people were
Jesse
like,
was
rough
saying.
Start.
It went on for like 15 minutes. And then they finally cut the feed and restarted it. And it went more successfully. So full of regret that I missed this. But we will be getting into the ABC.com cast bios.
Yes, we will.
And the two Victorias that apparently are the only double name this season, I think. So lots to unpack.
It's nice and easy for us.
I know. I didn't realize that Victoria had such a, I feel like 22 or 20 to 26 years ago, Victoria must have been very popular. We're starting to see the Victoria boom on The Bachelor. I can't wait until it's all like Isabella's. That's how that's going to be a real generational
oh, yeah.
marker.
Well, just wait.
So I feel like around 10 years ago, everyone started getting named Isabella.
So we're probably getting close. They can start coming on The Bachelor soon.
Soon. Unsettlingly soon. Well, I don't think I have anything else to say about Zach's season.
Me either. Oh, should we wrap up this episode here? Honestly, I've had a great time. I really feel like this was a cathartic experience for me and my rage. And that's what I want
yeah.
from a podcast, because I am just trying to provide some clickbait like the horrible person yeah. I am.
I'm ready to get my direct payments for talking about Chris Harrison in a negative way.
Yeah, make out your checks too.
I'm excited to get into a new 2023 of Bachelor, refreshed after
yeah,
the
bring in the ladies. I hope that they
yeah,
I hope that
the
they
ladies.
Had a fun time in Zach's orbit. And I'm excited to talk about all of them next week. And on that note, that is it for Love to See It with Emma and Claire.
Love to See It is produced by us, Claire Fallon and Emma Gray, and Stitcher. This episode was edited by Talon Stradley. Our theme music is by Tamar Haviv, and our art is by Celine Chang. Josephine Martirana is our executive producer.
If you like our show, please remember to follow, rate us 5 stars, and leave a review. And of course, tell all your friends about our show.
If you want to get in touch, you can email us at clareandemmapod@gmail.com.
You can also find us on Twitter and TikTok at Love to See It Pod, and Instagram at clareandemmapod. And you can find our newsletter, Rich Text, on Substack at clareandemma.substack.com. We just put out an episode about season 2 of White Lotus.
I'm also on Twitter and Instagram at Claire E. Fallon.
And I'm at Emma Lady Rose. We'll be back next week to break down the cast bios for Zach's Bachelor season. Can you keep up? I like
love it. Stitcher. Whether you're making the same breakfast that you have every day or baking a cake for an extra special day, eggs are a staple in our diets. Eggland's best eggs are nutritionally superior to ordinary eggs, containing more vitamins and 25% less saturated fat. Not only are they better for you, but Eggland's best eggs taste better too. There's a reason that they're America's number one eggs. Visit egglandsbest.com for additional information and delicious recipes.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.